Well, we're still looking at the Book of the Covenant in chapter 23 of Exodus. We've gone through the first three verses, and there's so much more here. But we're going to go on to verse 4 and 5. And it says, "If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under its load, helpless isn't there, that's why I stumbled a little bit. Helpless is an added word. Lying under its load, that's a bit more graphic to me, but helpless adds meaning to it. You shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him." Interesting. So, not only are we not supposed to be unjust, we're not supposed to be unkind and unhelpful. We are supposed to be helpful. Now, I'm saying we, because I find New Testament parallels to this as well, and I'll show you what that is in a little bit. But it was originally written to the Hebrews, of course. This is the Book of the Covenant that God has made with the Hebrews. And it's about somebody who doesn't like you very much. Oh my, is that possible? Is there somebody out there that doesn't like me very much? Well, you bet. And it's probably not because of who you are as much as what you are. If you are in Christ, or in this case, if you were a child of God, Old Testament, you know, at least in a covenant with him. That doesn't necessarily speak to salvation or anything like that, so don't read into that too much. I'm trying to be careful about how I say it. But you're out there in the workaday world, and you're going from your house to the ice cream parlor, and you see a guy's donkey out there, and you know whose donkey it is. And you know that this guy is an so-called enemy of yours, or he doesn't like you, or whatever the case, you know, somehow or another he's hostile, or she. And then you see this donkey, and you know it's their donkey. What do you do? Do you let it go ahead and wander off even more, out farther perhaps, and even get into some danger? You know, of course, that's entirely possible in the days in which this is written. Somebody might want to steal it. Somebody might, you know, want to just kill it. You might even have the thought yourself of killing it or hurting it just to get back at this person who's so vindictive toward you. I mean, the animal's innocent, right? This is applicable beyond donkeys, folks. The animal is innocent, though. You know whose it is. You see it. You're not supposed to let it just keep on going away from its owner. I know a lot of people will take out their anger on animals and feel like they're justified in doing this, but this would be striking out if you did that. It would be striking out at the enemy. And this poor donkey is going to be in the middle of that. And God help the poor thing. So he's telling us, don't take your anger out on objects that are already associated with somebody that is hostile toward you. I don't think we're supposed to be hostile toward them, and I think that's all part of this, but and the reason why I'll tell you again later. But nowadays, what we're seeing in the United States, and I imagine elsewhere, I just don't see all of it, people take their anger out on objects that are loosely associated with people that they think are their enemies. They attack store windows, they attack automobiles, trucks, buses, trains, who knows what all. they take down statues that have no reason to be taken down. They lash out at other things that don't even have any connection whatsoever to their so-called enemies. Violence is, I guess you should say, something that shouldn't be going on in a situation like this. Now, I'm not talking about war, you know, or anything of that nature where God says that there should be judgment and he uses the Israelites for that judgment and as the weapons or the vehicle of his judgment. I'm talking about something a whole lot different here, and so is the verse, so that's why I'm going in that direction. But the verse calls for compassion on the animal and not vindictiveness, even if it is your enemy's possession and you know it. The latter situation calls for you to help your enemy, actually, by helping his donkey and keeping it from getting hurt. And, wow, this would really create an interesting situation as to how that enemy would react when you bring his or her donkey home, you know, from wandering the streets. And the second situation goes a little bit farther yet. Further, I guess, is more proper. It calls for you to help your enemy help his donkey, which has been overburdened. Now, what's the tendency here? You come up on a guy whose donkey has fallen down under the weight of the burden that he's put upon it. It's too much for the animal, in other words. The animal just has a flat tire. So the tendency would be to criticize the idiot for overloading the donkey, right? You'd sit there and there'd be all kinds of people who would stand by and just laugh at him and say, you're a dope for putting so much on that poor animal. And you're mean. And they would have all kinds of things to say. But some people might say, if you don't have any more sense than that to overload your donkey, in other words, then I'm not going to help you. You're going to have to wise up, dude. Some people say that serves the guy right, you know, in any number of ways, in any number of methods or sentences. You could say, I'm not helping that guy. He did this to himself. But the scriptures don't even entertain that possibility here. In fact, the scriptures say, don't walk away. You see this, you go help the guy, whether he's your enemy or not. If it is, of course, something that you're supposed to do for your enemy, then anybody who is less than an enemy would certainly be included. Do you agree? Now, this is clearly what Jesus spoke of in different terms, and, of course, at a different time. And when they read this in the New Testament, they think, well, Jesus had a deeper understanding of the law. And so he speaks of deeper truths that the law never addressed. Well, I don't really know if that's true or not anymore. Because Jesus said in other places things that I think that they missed in the law. They didn't pay any attention to it. And so Jesus comes along and he says what the law says, and not even really getting into what the law means, but that also comes about. And it sounds like it's deeper teaching to people who just gloss over what the law actually says. In Luke 6:35, Jesus says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. do not judge and you will not be judged. That also fits into the same context. So don't take it out of context, and do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Given, it will be given to you, and so on. So that sounds like a whole lot deeper than what we just read in the Book of the Covenant in verses 4 and 5, chapter 23, but it isn't at all. I think they're exactly the same thing. I'm trying to make that point. The animal is innocent. The guy made a mistake by overloading the poor thing. It got out in the other case by itself, perhaps, or perhaps due to his negligence. I don't know. But this is I see this, and so I'm supposed to handle it this way, kind of a scenario. So Luke 6:35 and following that I was reading there says, you should expect nothing in return. You should help. Help the poor guy. He's got a bad situation at hand, and he needs some help. Help him without judging him, without, you know, talking down to him, without just walking by. And expect nothing in return, because God will reward you. You don't need anything from that person or anybody else. Human sources for accolades are not needed for the child of God, Old or New Testament. And this is how we, as well as the Hebrews, were supposed to show whose children we are. That's in both places. In Luke 6 and in Exodus 23, the Book of the Covenant is about being in a relationship with God, a covenant relationship with God. He becomes, in that scenario, the Father, we his children, or the Hebrews in that case, or in the New Testament, he's our Heavenly Father, we are his unheavenly children. We're supposed to do this, not because of how great we are, but because this is how we show whose children we are, or who we are in this relationship with. And also, beyond that, is this is how our Heavenly Father is toward the ungrateful and the evil. Think about that. Think about what help God provides to those who are completely alienated from him and who have turned their backs upon him. Enemies, in other words. The rain falls on both the just and the unjust. The unjust can know the goodness of God in everyday life just like the just can. You know, of course, that I'm not saying that people who are in Christ or even the Hebrews are just, but they are the same word, righteous, before God. That's the idea of being just and unjust. Unjust means you don't have a relationship with the Lord. So, lost people, enemies of the Hebrews, can know those things that we just mentioned, but they can also know what love's like, what joy is like, what happiness is like, what success is like, what being proud of yourself for doing a good day's work is like. I mean, on and on and on you can go. They have the blessing of having children and family life. They can feel the warmth of the sun. They can see the beauty of the earth and so much more. It's not just those things are isolated as blessings for the people who are the just or the righteous or who have a relationship with God. The things that work in an orderly fashion in the world work for them too. I mean, chemical reactions for us are also chemical reactions for them. Healing in our bodies is the same as healing for them. You plant, you cultivate, you harvest, so do they. They know what loyalty is. Of course, that's got to be qualified, but they enjoy the blessings of working hard and enjoying the fruit of their labors as we. there's no real demarcation of what they enjoy over what we enjoy as children of God or as a Hebrew in a relationship with God. Albeit, it might be more intense for us, I don't know. I haven't ever measured it, and I don't know how you would. They have setbacks just like we do. In the case in point of the 23rd chapter of Exodus, there's a donkey that gets loose, and then there's a donkey that can't hold up under the weight that's placed upon it, and it needs help. So they have setbacks too, as well as the good stuff. Bad stuff doesn't just happen to us, it happens to them too. When we see someone who is not a child of God suffering, what's our reaction? Are we just going to walk by? Are we just going to complain that we have better things to do, or that they should have done better, or that this is the will of God that they should suffer? If they would just live right, you know, they wouldn't suffer. Well, they may or may not have the resources to get themselves out of their predicament either. So you might have the attitude of saying, well, let them trust in their gods and see how that works out for them. Or let them suffer. They deserve it. Man, is that how a child of God should be? Or you might even have the attitude that I've heard so many times when people suffer some calamity and we say, wow, what did they do to deserve that? That's also in the Bible too, with the blind man in John chapter 9, if I remember the right chapter. If you can help someone, even an enemy, and this is obviously speaking to one of those times, and you do not help, what does that say about you and me, who claim to know God and claim that He knows us? This text puts it in terms of if you see, which limits the kind of deal that this applies to. You can't do things about what you can't see or you don't know about. Of course, that's ridiculous. But it also makes us responsible when we do see. If we, and I say we, but again, this 23rd chapter of Exodus is to the Hebrews and about the covenant that they're entering into. But there's also New Testament evidence, as I've shown from Luke above, and also in Romans chapter 12, 18 through 21. If we see this, turning from it is being vindictive or taking revenge, either aggressively or passively. We call that passive aggressive. You know, I'm doing this, turning away from this situation because that guy's my enemy. I'm not directly hurting him, but I'm indirectly making sure he gets what he deserves. So, if we see it, not only the revenge, the vindictiveness, and any other form of striking out at someone who is seen as an enemy is prohibited, but we're supposed to take steps to do good toward that person. Is that not what the 23rd chapter of Exodus says in verses 4 and 5? Well, it says the same thing in Romans 12, 18 through 21. Real quickly, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So that is really important too. I won't take any time with it, but we should not have a lot of enemies that are enemies because of us. In other words, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not become be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So we're not only supposed to refrain from not giving help, we're supposed to actually give help. That's a whole different animal, right? Our toolkit is supposed to be filled with doing good. Evil shouldn't be, or revenge shouldn't be, a tool in our toolkit or arsenal. It's supposed to be a toolkit that is filled with doing good. Gone long enough, but there's really a result that we shouldn't pass over. I'll just mention it here. In so doing, it says, we heap burning coals on his head. That sounds like revenge, doesn't it? But it's not. In doing the good, this is the result. So you got to think about that for a little while. Makes that person pretty uncomfortable to have burning coals on his head. And they might just think about what it means for you to be a child of God and how it makes you different and how they just might, I mean just might, want to know the God who is able to produce relationships like this that produces people who relate like this. So, as always, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Shalom.